Although we're happy to answer any questions that you want. But we thought about the fact that there's probably more than half of the people in the North area have done some training in some healing or deliverance ministry in the last few years, okay, regardless of whose it is, which organisation. So what we want to do is break open a bit of that today and start us on a discernment process of what it means for us. So I'm going to hand over to Jackie, who's going to lead us in, and then I'll jump back up when she's finished.
Okay, it's all right. I'll just read what I've written as best I can. Yesterday I went to the Catholic Charismatic Renewal teaching about deliverance ministry, and that on the back of the week before going to Victorious Ministries Through Christ, which is also a deliverance ministry. So as Jane said, there's a number of people here, probably almost more than half at least, who've been to some form of a deliverance ministry training school. There's John Matoya as well. I know the Stallones are very familiar with that. So there's lots of things going on. So I guess we just wanted to come up, talk about that, and see if there's something that the Holy Spirit might be doing with us as a body in the North in that area. So first of all, inner healing refers to the healing of emotional, spiritual, physical issues that a person may have, and inner healing issues may exhibit physical characteristics since we're physical beings and we're linked with spiritual and emotional, and it's in our makeups, the way we're created. And you know, Father Doug's always saying people get healed after they have their sins forgiven in confession, they have a physical healing. He's got heaps of those stories. So the three elements of our being interact and affect each other. So an emotional or spiritual issue can lead to problems with the heart or the mind or any other organ in our body. So we need to remember that the healing of the paralytic. When Jesus said, when the one that came down through the roof, your sins are forgiven, then get up and walk. So, you know, the link. Deliverance ministry is at the very heart of Christianity, since Christ's whole mission was to set us free from the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. So indeed, Jesus came to take back or redeem from Satan everything we forfeited and to continue to forfeit through our own disobedience, foolishness, hard-heartedness, and sometimes just plain ignorance. Sometimes we get into things we don't even know what they are, but they actually have a spiritual connotation for us, but we don't even know that. So that's what Dan Hewitt said at the Catholic Charismatic Renewal thing yesterday. So deliverance ministry is something that is the broad term, I guess, for things that VMTC teach you in, Catholic Charismatic Renewal, John Matoya, and Elijah House is another one. Unbound is another one. Yeah, so there's plenty of them. And a number of people in here will have done either one or more of those. I'm really curious. I've done all of them except for I haven't been to see John Matoya yet. So by deliverance ministry, what I'm referring to is not exorcism. You know, the movie, I've never seen it, thank goodness, but not that. So that's for ordained priests. Leave that to them. Deliverance ministry is the cutting free of any unhealthy bondage we may have as a person, to anything of this earth. An unhealthy attachment could be to a person, to a place, to a thing, to an experience. Could be an image that keeps popping up in your brain for some reason and it's disturbing and you just can't get rid of it. There could be something there. One of the things for me was going to confession for the same thing over and over again and just not being able to break it, whatever that was. So there was something beyond what I was aware of. And deliverance ministry aims with the Holy Spirit and discernment of spirits and all the gifts of the Spirit, actually, to get to the root and cut it off. So 4 or 5 years ago, Shannon McCabe and I both signed up to do a Victorious Ministries Through Christ school, VMTC. Shannon couldn't go in the end, but I went. And I signed up because after 20 something years in Disciples of Jesus and praying, I just felt within me that there was something, this was level of spiritual warfare that I didn't know about, but I knew was there, and I just wanted to learn more about it. And I wanted to know how to pray the types of prayers that Jesus said with the Spirit we could pray as disciples of Jesus, so that people could be raised from the dead, so that people could be set free from whatever was holding them bondage. There was a song today about glory. I know that word glory was in there, and there was a song about being beautiful. And last night at Mass, the gospel was about the transfiguration. I was reading about it today and how Jesus was glorified, like his human body was glorified, and Peter saw it, didn't know what he was saying, and said, this is so great. Can we just stay here with this whole space? And, of course, he couldn't, and they came down the mountain. But I was feeling that that's us. Like we, our glory is to be that bright, but for some reason, for whatever reasons, we don't show it. We get a bit dulled. And I feel like deliverance ministry will shines individuals up, and then as a body shines us up, and we can be that transformed Christ to the world. So anyway, 4 or 5 years ago, I signed up for this VMT course because I wanted to just know more, some information, and I'd heard it was pretty good. So I went along, not expecting anything for myself, but just an information download. Anyway, when I got there, I realized, thank goodness Jane and Lisa were there. I didn't know they were going, but they'd signed up as well. So I wasn't by myself. And it was one of the most spiritually freeing experience I've ever encountered in my personal prayer ministry. So there was myself and two other people praying over me, and then a person in the back interceding, and they also had like a room full of people interceding at the same time. So there's heaps of intercession going for it. And like, I came out of there, I feel like a different person. And I thought, oh, there's something in this. Now I need to know more. So I kept going back and back and back and back. And I'm remembering now the time years ago as well when Father John Ray came, and Mark and I went and chatted to him. And we said, oh, we just need prayers for, and we mentioned something. And then he asked us a few questions and he said, oh, hang on a second, just stop there. Just go back. Like, what is that you said there? And I said, oh, da-da-da-da-da. And he said, well, we've got to pray right here for that specific situation and get to the root and cut it off right now before we can deal with whatever. I went, oh, okay. So he did that. And again, completely different, such an experience of freedom and of lifting of something. So that was Father John Ray. So that's also when I thought, okay, there's a level of prayerfulness that I want to know about, because I want to be like the disciples that are able to do the stuff that Jesus said we can do with the Spirit, because he said it's better for us that he goes. But why is it better for us that he went? And I thought, well, if it is better, it's because he's left the Holy Spirit, so let us do all those other things. So blah, 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 blah. So as you know, as someone gets older, you're able to look back over your life and you can pick instances where you feel like God has just gone plonk, plonk. And for me, those, I can have three distinct instances, and one of those was my first conversion experience. The second one was the life in the Spirit, which brought Mark and I into Disciples of Jesus. And the third one was this VMTC ministry. So it had a significant effect on my life. Okay. I've always also felt like there was more. I'm sure everybody here does feel like there's more. So we live this life, right? And then you read the lives of the saints, and you have someone like St. Maximilian Kolbe, who's offered, you can have the red crown or the white crown, and he says, give me both. And I think St. Therese was offered something similar, you can have this or that, and she said, I want it all, give me it all. And that's what I've been really longing for some time, like I want it all. And that sort of prompted me to look into these spiritual warfare deliverance ministry schools, training schools. So I'll read this from, this is the book that we got from the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Services yesterday, and it says, many people evangelized by Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which is all of us, soon become aware of their inner resistance and unresolved issues. Like I said, those things that we just can't seem to get over, those people we just can't seem to love the way we know God wants us to love. or unless that's just me. They come to see that there are spiritual bonds or bondages holding them captive and experience the difficulty or even inability to free themselves from this burden. And that's what deliverance ministry is, the freeing of people from bondages and burdens. Now, I did Elijah House also, pre-children. Oh, no, actually, no, it was when I was expecting Sarah. So that was 20-something years ago. And I know the Ratcliffs have also experienced Elijah House. I did the Catholic Charismatic Renewal thing yesterday, so I've only had a snippet of that. But if you want to know information, Michelle Firth's like all over it. What was the other one? Unbound. So the Stallones, Therese Dabbs, myself. Yeah, we did it together. Who else? Was it someone else? Just us. Okay. So we did that, I can't remember how long ago now, last year sometime by Zoom, August last year. Oh, thanks, Jane. Okay, so anyway, we did that. And can I just say, they're so similar in that they're all Holy Spirit-led. They are Jesus Christ-focused. They say don't talk to spirits. You don't direct them. Jesus does that. But it is possible for people to be freed from these bondages and from if there are any spirits hanging around. I'm not talking about possession. I'm talking about oppression or just we live in a spiritual, yes, Jane goes like this. So just we live in this realm. We know it. There's this spiritual realm. And in the name of Jesus, it is possible, especially with the gift of discernment of spirits, and if we're open to all the charismatic gifts and they are here, you can, as a person, I'll clarify this in a minute. You can actually, in the name of Jesus, bind and send away spirits if they're hanging around and being annoying. However, in the Perth Archdiocese, which is what I found out yesterday, lay people are not able, not allowed to do that. So lay people are not allowed to bind and send away spirits. That's only in Perth. In Australia, you are. In the world, you are. I believe the Catholic Charismatic Renewal people are trying to change that rule. Apparently it came in with Archbishop Goody. Archbishop Hickey was then trying to change it but hasn't, just to get us in line with everyone else, saying lay people do have this ability and are able to do it. And I'm not sure where it stands at the moment. So the aim is to be able to do everything that all the deliverance ministries say that lay people are able to do. But at the moment, I suppose as a Catholic group, what that means for us is we can cut bondages as lay people and all the other stuff, but you can't do anything with the spirits. I believe the reason is because you don't want to freak people out, non-charismatic Catholics. They were worried that people were getting freaked out, and also you don't want people going around just making it up as they go, you know. So there's reasons for the rules in place. VMTC is not a Catholic thing. It's a non-denominational thing. So that doesn't come under the archdiocese rules. So you're allowed to do it there. Elijah House is the same, I think. Elena, is that right? It's not specifically Catholic, is it? It's non-denominational? Yep. Unbound, the book was written by a Catholic man. There is nothing in it, however, that is overtly Catholic. It's Christian. It was written by a Catholic man, I think, in the 70s. Oh, there you go, 1991. VMTC was written by, the book that came from was written by a lady, non-Catholic, back in the 70s, I think. So Anglican, there you go. VMTC also comes under the Anglican Church. John Matoya, the Catholic guy, Catholic Charismatic Renewal, the stuff Michelle Firth does, Catholic, ticks all the boxes. So I guess the reason for coming up here and saying all this was because, like Mario said and Jane said, a number of us have now gone to, for whatever reason, schools in training of deliverance ministry. And why is that? It's not just for our own personal healing, or might start out that way, but there might be something else in it. Like, are we meant to use those gifts, especially us in the north, in the northern suburbs? So I'm not going to talk anymore about anything specific. If you had any questions about how VMTC works or how Unbound works or anything, speak to – are you going to come up and talk, Mandy? Or Sel? Okay. So I'll get do you want to come up? Or then, so Sal, if you want to come up and talk about John Matoya, and then Elena about Elijah House. Is that good?
Thank you.
Okay. Just a little bit about John, and just want to share a bit about his ministry, what he does, and maybe just a little bit about my own journey, our own family's journey with John. But John has a deliverance ministry. He has he's the only layperson in the Archdiocese of Perth that's been authorised to actually give deliverance by the Archbishop. And John has undergone training in Rome, the exorcism courses and the deliverance courses that are given there as part of that. John has a particular ministry, the deliverance ministry, and it's generally it's an individual one on with John praying with another, could be a priest or someone else for that individual. So how do people come to that? They get in contact with John through various means. It might be through other people who know of John and his ministry, and they arrange a time where John will pray with them, normally with someone else, for whatever is going on in their lives, and pray for that using the gift of deliverance. So that's his ministry through the Archdiocese. The other thing that John does, and what he does on a weekly basis, is he has a liberation and intercessory prayer meeting or prayer group. And that's held on a Wednesday night, 7:30 at the Dianella Parish Church. And what John does there is it's an open invitation to anybody who wants to come along. And Mandy and I have been quite regular attendance there on a Wednesday night, probably for the last 18 months to 2 years. And what John does there is the format of the night is pretty simple. He opens up with the Word of God. So he breaks open the Word of God. He has a couple of scripture readings. He then talks to those scripture readings and preaches on those scripture readings, and then moves into a time of intercession, interceding for healing of many different things that would come to John's mind, and perhaps even people that have approached him throughout the week that need intercession. He wouldn't be praying out names, but he would be praying for healings and intercessions. And of course, we're there in the congregation also asking for that intercession for either people that we know that need prayers or healing, for ourselves as individuals, etc. And then sometimes John, what he does is he has like an altar call, very similar to what we know of Father John Ray, where he, you know, calls people up to the front, and he would just pray over you. You don't tell him what you want prayers for, but he's just got a very he's got a gifting in liberation and intercession. So he calls it liberation intercessory prayer group, because that's exactly what it is that we can be liberated free through, because Jesus died on the cross for us, of course, and you know, through that we can be set free, right? It's very, very similar kind of, it's the same principles that all the deliverance ministries that Jackie has spoken about is based on. It's fundamentally, Jesus has set us free. We can be set free with anything that would bind us in our lives or through Jesus, yeah? If there's anything else, I'm just thinking. Maybe a little bit about my own experience through John. I guess my own personal journey has been one where, through my own journey, there's been a lot of hurt, that I have encountered from others, whatever, and our family. And that's been really difficult to kind of walk that journey. And what I found is that John has really helped myself and Mandy and my family, or us, just to walk that journey of forgiveness, not holding resentment, reconciliation even. So that's been our kind of journey and walk with John, that we've really got a lot of graces through John and through his prayers that have helped us to, you know, walk that challenging time in our lives when really we could have felt abandoned by God, but through all that time we really felt that God was walking right next to us and right beside us. And it was like through John and having John there with us, just to praying and interceding and I guess liberating as well, like that really has been a blessing for us, just being involved with John in that life journey that we've had, I guess, more recently. And we've also had the other things that John has done is he has healing masses. Normally he has one big one every year. In 2020, he had one that the Archbishop Barry Hickey can celebrated. Last year he had another one. We've had the honor of helping John to be on an organizing committee just to help him with his ministry. So help with the healing mass. He's run a liberation and healing conference that he ran. Again, we helped to organize that, and we were part of that. And you know, very honored to be helping John in that area. So I don't think John's familiar to a lot of the community members. We've seen community members come on the Wednesday nights, you know, on and off. I guess that's pretty much summarizes John and what he does. Yeah.
Not exactly sure what I'm going to say, but one thing that we usually tell people about our experience with Elijah House is that it's done more for our marriage than any counselling or psychology ever has, because it gets right to the roots of the problem, the spiritual roots. And, it's done a lot to strengthen our marriage over the years. And what the teachings are based on. So with Elijah House, they used to have a series of schools, so A, B, C and D, but now they do it a little bit differently. But when we did it, they were doing the schools, and you'd go and listen to a series of talks, and then after maybe a couple of talks, after that session, there'd be like some group, a group session where you'd have the opportunity to share and you'd be prayed over. And I found it absolutely amazing the way God arranged all that. Already in the talks, you're hearing these truths that, you know, as I'd hear them, my heart would be singing. It's like, this is just amazing. And, you know, we'd have our ears up for anything anti-Catholic or non-Catholic, and there really wasn't a lot of that. In fact, the founders were, you know, very encouraging of many elements of our faith, and they would, you know, preach, you know, and quote, you know, St. Augustine. And so, that, you know, there was never much really of that. But what I found is there'd be times it would feel like heart surgery, but afterwards the freedom that you felt from the whole process was just absolutely extraordinary. And it was like lasting. You'd see in your life the changes from these the spirit. It's like I think the most profound meetings that I've had personally with the Holy Spirit and, yeah, just him working directly in my life have been at these times. And when we were around the time when we were going to do our first couple of schools, I remember the Lord just taking me through a time where he opened the Bible to me, and it was like I would hear a scripture passage and be like a treasure hunt. Oh, where is that? I'd be searching through the Bible and then I'd see something on the way, and then it was just like all this stuff was coming at me. It was really overwhelming. And then we did our first couple of schools, or maybe it was one school, a couple of weekends, and in the manual, all the same scripture passages were on, you know, the page. Was like, well, what are you trying to say, Lord? But, yeah, it was, yeah, amazing. But it's based on one of their basic teachings is based on where there are fruits in your life, you know, negative fruits, there are roots. And, you know, through the teaching and through the prayer, the way the Lord shines his light, you know, into your heart and into your spirit, it's like you have all these little doors that you've closed off to God because of, you know, past hurts or traumas, often in childhood, even often before, you know, we develop our intellect. And the way the Lord will bring to your mind, and also the person, usually there are a couple of people who are in ministry, he'll bring just like a picture of something that happened in your life, and might be the vaguest thing from way back in your childhood that you remember. But it's like, oh, this keeps coming back. I suddenly realize I keep having this memory. There's not necessarily any emotion attached to it. But, and then so as they ask questions and pray into it, and as the Lord starts shining his light, just the freedom that comes with. And it's usually based on, it's always usually based on forgiveness as well, like forgiving those people that hurt us and those forgiving God because of our wrongful perceptions of, you know, of him, and even obviously forgiving ourselves and sort of renouncing the judgments that we've made on life that have, you know, had, can have quite physical impacts on us. Yeah, I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay, so there's a lot of experiences that people have had in different healing and deliverance ministries over the years, and we're not really here to push one over the other, but I want to start just briefly by looking at Luke 10 and the mission of the 72. So after this, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send the laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along your way. In whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives here, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out to the street and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." Okay. All right. So Jesus sent out his 72 And he sent them out to prepare the ground for him. So they went out ahead to the places that Jesus was going to visit. So they sort of go and do all the groundwork, and then Jesus brings the sale home, you know, like you often have in business where someone goes and soft talks somebody and then someone else comes behind and sort of makes the deal. Well, this is what Jesus sort of did. He sent the disciples out, and even though they had success in their ministry, lots of people were healed and stuff, there were still some that Jesus had to go and deal with, but they were preparing the ground. And it's a bit like us, like it's not our job to save people, okay? We can't save people, that's Jesus's job. But it is our responsibility to tell everybody about Jesus and to witness to him how he works, to others how he works in our life. So he doesn't just give us a relationship with him for our own salvation, okay? That's important. And as others have said today, like getting involved in deliverance is really good for us. Like individually, we get released and freed from so much stuff. Some of the stuff we don't even know is holding us back. But it's not really just about us. Okay, so Jesus didn't send the 72 out for their own good, okay? Well, partly he did because, you know, he'd basically been running a training school for quite a while by then, and he was sending them out to show them the power of God. But he was sending them out to get other people ready for Jesus to go and heal. So this relationship we have with Christ is supposed to be shared. It's not something just for us, for our own good. So he calls us into a relationship with him, but also into a relationship with others. So we're called onto mission together. So if you look at that story of the 72, it has three sort of components. So the first thing he did was he told them to pray, okay? So we need to pray because the mission isn't going to happen out of our power, okay? It's only going to happen in Jesus' power and the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing he did was he told them to go now. Like, don't worry about whether you've got all the gear you need, or don't worry about whether what you've got, don't worry about your material possessions. There's a need out there. The harvest is rich. Nobody's doing anything. Get your butts out on the road and do something about it, okay? And the same thing could be said to us. You know, we can sit here comfortably in our nice little community where we all love one another, which blew away VMTC people down there. There was 15 of us down there last weekend, and they went, oh, my gosh, you guys, we can't get over how much you love each other and, two, how strong your marriages are. Like, so be aware. You might think we're just living this community life and no one really notices. But you are, just by living your life, you are witnessing, okay? But people aren't going to see it if we just stay in this little room doing our own thing, making sure that we're all cozy, comfy, okay? So we need to go out there and do it. So we need to go out. They knew, and Jesus knew, that when they went out, they would be taken care of, okay? He told them how to make sure they were going to get taken care of. Okay, go to somewhere, and if they're nice to you, stay there. If they're not nice to you, go somewhere else. Okay, so he was making sure, he was paving the way. He knew there were people who were looking after. Okay, so then he told them, what do they do? Go there. You proclaim peace. So that's the first thing. You go and say, peace be with you. If they accept you, peace be with you. The next thing he did, heal the sick. Look after them. Okay. The third thing he did was proclaim the gospel, okay? So he didn't go knock, 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 bleh. Jesus, do you know Jesus? He will save you, whatever. It was go in there, which he actually will, by the way, but was to go in there, build relationship, heal them, and then tell them about Jesus and what Jesus can do, okay? So this makes me think, you know, like there's all these people that are on this process. Hopefully we're all on this process of getting healed. But people, some of us are involved more or less degree in in healing, in deliverance at some level, okay? I would encourage all of you at some stage to connect with any of these ministries and deal with your stuff, okay? Because whether we know it or not, we've all got stuff. But for the purpose, not only of your own freedom, but being able to then to share that freedom with other people and to move in freedom and to be that witness of that freedom. So pray, build relationship, heal, and then proclaim the gospel. And this is what Jesus told them to do. So maybe there's a reason why so many of us have been involved at some level in a healing or deliverance ministry. Okay, so hopefully one day the Archdiocese will come into line with the rest of Australia and we will be able to do deliverance ministry. But in the meantime, we can still pray over people. We can still cut bondages, which is very powerful, even if you don't do anything with spirits. So then you've got to go, well, so what does he want us to do with it? Here we are up north, you know. We're a very comfortable community. There is this massive amount of harvest out there. What are we going to do about it? What is God asking us to do? How are we going to take Christ out to other people? How are we going to take his healing to other people so that they can be more open to receiving the life that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ? So we've had word after word after word after word after word saying use your gifts, okay? And we're thinking, oh, we're using our gifts. People are using, you know, that we've got music ministries, we've got people on healing, we've got people giving prophetic words, you know, lots of people are involved in. We're doing this stuff, but we're doing it here. We're doing it for us. What are we doing out there, okay? So we say, let's run a life in the Spirit. What happens, you know? We could be running 10 life in the spirits around the place. Like, we could be doing all sorts of stuff out there because we have 60-odd very gifted adults apart from all the kids who are in here. So what is God asking us to do? Is he asking us to do something, and if so, where? It's not just about gathering. Using your gifts is not just about gathering. We're not given the Holy Spirit just so we can have a buzz at 3 o'clock every Sunday afternoon. It's about way more than that. Okay, so if you look at our covenant, like in identity, it says we're called to be part of the wider church, wider Catholic church, part of the body of the wider Catholic church, which we seek to serve and renew. So what is God asking us to do as a community to be able to renew the church in using the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given us? So I suppose that's the challenge for us. Like, how we need to discern where we're going through. We're too big for this venue. Okay? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we just going to move lock, stock and barrel to somewhere else bigger? Are we going to start looking at some of these parishes that are out there where there is unending harvest? You know, we need to discern as a community what we're going to do. How are we going to use these gifts? So we're going to keep getting these words, use your gifts, use your gifts, use your gifts. Okay, but we need to get out of the mentality that it's all about us, because it's not all about us. Okay, we're not a church. We're part of the wider church and we've got a mission. By baptism, we have a mission. So I suppose we're just saying, well, guys, we need to discern what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. How are we going to use these gifts that we have? How are we going to reach out to that harvest that Christ has called us to do? Amen.
So random that it's about healing and all that. Because, yeah, during sharing group, I actually asked for some healing just on my neck. It was really tense. And to be honest, this is something I've been a little bit skeptical about. Maybe as a kid, I was like, I want this to be healed, and it didn't heal. I was like, oh, you know, why isn't my will being answered? But really, I think it's just an encouragement that we can talk in sharing group, and if there's any prompts to ask for it. Because I wasn't going to say anything. So at the end of sharing group, people were packing up. I was like, actually, guys, I've got a healing prompt. Could we just pray for my neck? And they're like, oh, it's going to take until morning. But anyway, they were praying and it was like, you know, in, you know, for your glory, Lord, let it be, you know, let it be healed. Amen. And like instantly all this tension in my neck just went. And they're like, oh, it's going to take at least 12 hours. But I was like, it happened right now. And then I just texted them. I texted them this like the next morning. I was like, guys, thanks so much. So yeah, a real encouragement, even in our sharing groups, to get empowered by it. I was actually going to share it when I was up the front being my sister. I was like, oh, I think that's my cue. Didn't know what the talk was about, but yeah, just an encouragement. I feel really empowered to now get involved in this ministry. So yeah, let's take these opportunities.
Sorry, I was supposed to say any questions because I know there's sort of some stories around the place about what happens in some of these ministries. So if you've got any questions or you want to ask any, you can either ask or probably talk to someone who's done any of the schools and answer. I'm happy to answer any questions if anyone's got any they want to publicly ask, but otherwise feel free to approach me or Jackie or the Stallones, or are you doing a Bolt? I was going to say the Gethins, but yep, they're going. Oh, passion play. Okay. Oh, yeah. Josh, chief recruiter. He's just been bullying the class into being in the passion play. Yanni owes him a lot. Okay. All right. Yeah. So feel free to ask any questions. Sorry.
Check boy. So I think we should, thank you to all those people who came up and shared. Jackie and Jane did a great job there. I think there's a real challenge for us, isn't there? I think it's a big challenge. So thank you to the ladies and to Sal coming up and Elena for sharing too, and as well as Tom. But I think if there is one word for me for 2022 that God has been speaking to me about, it is discernment, right? Discern. And I think that God is really asking of us to discern clearly. How does God want us to serve? And what was the second part of that, Jane? Serve and renew the life of the wider Catholic Church. How does he want us to do that? Right? Living community life is actually one way that we do that, right? Because we enrich the church through living a really radical lifestyle. But I think God's asking of us perhaps to think about and consider other ways that we can use the spiritual gifts that he's given us and that we're encountering all the time. So let's be very, very deliberate and strategic about trying to consider what God wants us to do. So thanks, everybody, for being here this afternoon and being a blessing. And let's support and love one another as we go forward from here. God bless.